Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, I've had a lot of thoughts, and again, it seems like the Lord has not allowed me to pull them together and make a nice little tight outline. So I'm just going to trust the Lord to say what he wants to say, to emphasize what he wants to emphasize. But my mind has gone this week to scriptures in Psalm 37, a very familiar scripture. And this was a psalm of David. I believe it's plain that he wrote this when he was older. This was not something he wrote in the middle of all of the battles that he fought as a young man, but this was something that as a much older man, a much more mature man, he was looking back. I expect this was probably even after the business with Bathsheba and the sin and the repentance. But here is David as an old man, and how do I know that, by the way? He says later in the passage, he's talking about the Lord's faithfulness. He says, I've been young and I am now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So I think it's safe to say that David was an old man when he wrote this. And so he was looking at life. He was looking at his own life. There's obviously an element of testimony, but there's an element here of teaching and instructing based upon his own experience with God. And of course, he's reckoning on the fact that we live in a messed up world where things aren't always the way we think they should be. It's a godless world. It's a world where men are seeking their own way and they have their own ideas about what life is about. We've said these things many times. And here he is talking to believers, those who could hear his words, and trying to encourage us how to handle this. And so there are admonitions and warnings and instructions that he gives. And a lot of it has to do with the contrast between the way the world lives and the way we're meant to live, okay? And so let's just begin in the beginning there for the moment and say, do not fret because of those who are evil. Now, fret is a word that conveys the idea of being upset, angry. It's not just, oh, I'm worrying about this. This is somebody who's just really upset. Any of you get upset when you see things that are happening in the world? Well, the Lord says, don't do that. That's to be expected. We can't, it's not like we can fix it. It's not like, oh God, what's the matter with you? Why don't you do something? Don't worry. Just wait. Everything will all fall into place. The Lord is allowing things to unfold as they will. He is not going to have a family of robots. He's going to have a family, as we've said many times now, of sons and daughters who learn from him and live in this world. Do not fret because of those who are evil. All right? So he's just reckoning on that as a fact. That's just going to be that way. Don't be upset that it's that way. Or be envious of those who do wrong. Now, there's another trap that the enemy can lead people into besides just getting angry about it. You can actually look and see, hey, there's somebody who's not paying any attention. They're not serving the Lord at all. And look at how they're enjoying life and all the stuff they have. Things are great, and here I am struggling, and I'm having trouble in my life. Something's wrong here. And I sort of wish I could be like them. Don't fall for that nonsense. David is looking at it from a perspective, as I say, of somebody who's lived with the Lord a long time, and who recognizes that it's not just the way things are now, but the way they will be. The Lord has revealed where things are headed. We need to live with that knowledge. We need to walk in that reality. And so don't be angry, don't be envious. Why? For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. All right? Sort of reminds me of what happened when the worship leader was at Psalm 73, said, surely God is good to Israel, but as for me, my feet had well nigh slipped, and they had slipped because he was suddenly looking at the wicked and how well they were getting along and what's wrong, and I'm wasting my time serving God. And he says, then I looked at their end. I stopped to realize. I came into the sanctuary and I realized where they were headed. And oh, it changed everything. Folks, this world, as we've said so many times, as the Lord has said, is headed for a bad end. Every person, every human being is on a road to somewhere. And God wants us on a road that will lead to life. His love reaches out to every one of us, and he reached out through this man. We're told in Scripture that this was a man after God's own heart. Even though he messed up so badly in that one period of his life when he got careless, in spite of that, there was a heart that reached out after the things of God. And so God was able to use him to encourage us. Thousands of years later, we can read his words and realize, hey, this is wisdom. This is something that I need in my life right now. It's not just better information. This is a truth that I need to be walking in. I need to be experiencing the things that he's talking about. And so he begins to give the contrast to the natural reaction to the seeing what's going on in the world. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I better make a comment on that one. Awful easy for the natural man to read that and say, oh boy, here's a formula for having a better life. I can be prosperous. I can have what I want. I just got to find out what he means by delighting in the Lord. I got to be religious. I got to profess Christianity and go to church and practice that. And if I do that just right, God's promised that he's going to give me all the desires of my, and they're talking about earthly desires. If you truly delight in the Lord, what kind of desires are there going to be in your heart? Yeah, we're going to be delighting in what he delights in. We're going to be wanting what he wants. And I'll tell you, God is looking for hearts that want to be in harmony with him, want to be in union with him. And I'll tell you, there are desires that he kindles within. He is faithful, and he's going to fulfill those desires. Praise God. All right? So that's part of the picture. Then he says, these are the scriptures that really stuck out to me. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your way, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. I'll tell you, you almost get the picture here that there are people looking on who are seeing the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that Christians may be going through for a time. And they're looking around at the world and saying, well, they're not serving God and they're doing great. You're a fool. And the Lord's saying, don't worry, I'm going to vindicate. I'm going to show the world the truth of this matter. There's going to come a time when you're the one who's going to be standing there in with my blessing and with my life, and it's not going to end well for them. So don't worry. But in the meantime, what do? There's got to be an active trust. This is not just some theoretical, theological thing. This is a daily attitude of our hearts where we are looking to God, trusting in him. All right? Commit. All right? Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, and so forth. And then he talks about refraining from anger. There's a whole lot of things that he's contrasting and teaching us how we need to act and react in this world in which we live in. Every bit of this, by the way, is clearly informed by his own experience, isn't it? This is somebody who's been down some dangerous, difficult ways. Now, one of the words that jumped out at me is the word way. And it's an interesting word. If you trace the original word through the Old Testament, I wouldn't want to take the time to try to take it in every direction it could be taken. But a way could be used as, you know, how do you get to Sanford from here? There's a road that you follow. And so it's a literal pathway. It's geographical. But a way also refers to how I live. What's the direction of my life? What am I looking for? What kind of a road am I on? You know, a lot of people, they envision earthly success, and they got their five-year plan as to how they're going to achieve the dreams that they have, and they're on a road. This is the focus of my life. This is my way. And so it's the focus and the heart of somebody's life is their way. And, of course, it also ties into the, it's not just what I do, but how I do it. And so you get somebody who maybe has a bad temper, or somebody who is very, very aggressive, or very cruel, or very something. You know, we have this expression about somebody who acts in an odd way. We think it's a different way, and somebody who knows them will stand there, well, it's his way. You know, we know that expression. And what it is somebody's personality has learned how to react and act in a certain way in a certain situation. And so that becomes, this is my personality coming out. This is who I am. This is my identity. Boy, we need help with our ways, don't we? Praise God. So this is used in a lot of ways. And in a way, that word, I'm using the word itself, but in this way, this word is kind of a key, because what David is contrasting is the ways of the world with the way God wants us to go. And so we have a way, we have a road that we are on, but we need to do something with that and not just follow the ways of the world. You know, one of the ways this word was used is in Genesis 6 when the Lord was having to come down in judgment in Noah's day. And one of the things it said was every human being had corrupted his way. They had begun to live with certain values, certain ways that they were doing things and how they sought them. Every bit of it was totally out of harmony with God's purpose. There was a wickedness, a self-centeredness in it. And that's what drives this world. And I'll tell you, that's what's going to bring the world we live in right now down to judgment. It's rapidly happening. It's rapidly coming. And it's real. But God wants us to know, just as he did in David's day, how to navigate that. Now, of course, this was not written to unbelievers, was it? This was written, again, like I said earlier, for the sake of those who are capable of hearing and understanding. And you remember David's son, Solomon, was a man endued by God with great wisdom beyond that of probably anybody in the history of the world, maybe other than Jesus. But there was a wisdom to be able to watch the way people lived and learn from it and gather wisdom that could help other people. And one of the things he said, I think in more than one place, was there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's the world. That's Solomon's looking at the world and saying, you know, a lot of people think they're on a good track. They're living for things that appeal to them, that make sense in this world, you know, earthly success and what we can gain out of it. All that seems like it's so important. So I got to learn how to do that. I've got to engage the abilities that I was born with to make that happen. That's my life. That's my way. It seems right. If you just look at the world and how it operates, those things seem right. But where do they lead? That's the warning that God has for us to learn from. It leads to death, doesn't it? There's an interesting, I'm just going to have to quote these. I didn't make a note where I could turn to all of them, but there is a scripture in Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived in a challenging time, didn't he? He was called to prophesy during the period of time when Israel had to be judged. They've persistently refused to hear God's warnings of coming judgment, and Babylon was a great empire. They came in and successively, in about three different attacks, they destroyed the nation. Here he was trying to uphold the things of God. Do you think maybe he felt his own need? Yeah. There's one time where he prayed to God. He said, I know, oh God, that the way of man is not in himself. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? That means the ability to chart our own course in life doesn't exist in us. We're born into this broken world, the world that follows its own inclinations. I need help. If I don't get help from somebody other than me, I'm going to make a mess. I need God to lead me and to help me. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. That's the reality that we're living in. I don't care all the abilities that we were born with in this world. We do not have the ability to chart our course in a way that leads to a good end. We need God. Thank God for his faithfulness in reaching out in such mercy and love to his people. You know, this was not a king, David's the king, who was serving this evil master in the sky just to get by. This was somebody who had learned to love the Lord. Learn to rejoice in him. Learn to see him as a loving heavenly Father. Praise God. And there was a heart that had this hunger to know him. Praise God. You remember, you know, sit down and read sometime again. Psalm, was it 139? Where David is just exulting in the fact, just mulling over the fact that, God, you know everything about me. You know when I lie down, when I get up. You know every thought that's in my head. You knew all the elements that make up this physical body when they were just in the ground somewhere, and somehow they all wound up in my mother's womb, and you were there, and you brought me out. Amazing God you are. Not only that, I can't go anywhere where you aren't. And it's not just that you're some great being, but you're thinking about me. You're thinking about me. That's amazing. And your thoughts toward me are more than the grains of sand by the sea. Give me a break. That's incredible. Oh, David just felt drawn to this one who had this incredible sense of love and mercy toward him. And so at the end, he's, you know, it didn't fill him with a fear. Oh, my God, I've got to measure up. This was... Oh, God, search me. He's not trying to hide. He knows he can't. Wouldn't that be good for us to remember? We can't hide. Who are we kidding? We need to be able to say like David, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me. That's a hard one to pray, isn't it? Try me. We have enough trials. But he's praying, said, oh, God, I want to know you so well. I need you to test me. I need you to try me. And know my anxious thoughts. And do what? Lead me in the way everlasting. David was recognizing that I think he talks about his own, lest there be any evil way in me. I think I missed that phrase. Lest there be any evil way in me. David is recognizing, no doubt that was well on into his life as well. He's recognizing that, you know, even now, boy, did that come out this morning in our men's meeting. Even now, there could be something in me that just isn't like you and isn't right. I want you to search that out. I want you to help me to get rid of that, overcome it, to just find my way into your way, Lord. Help me. I need you, oh God. Lord, I'm just trusting in you to open the way before me because I can't do this. And that sense, well, that was expressed so clearly this morning, that sense that God is going to bring us to a place of dependence. We just don't like that. You talk about something that is contrary to human nature. For me to have to depend upon God, to get up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what to do. I need you. And my ways of handling life, how many things are that happen in my life and my natural reaction is anger. Ooh. And of course, that wouldn't apply to anybody here, right? But that's just one example of many. Or we have resentment or jealousy, or we get offended by this, or all those things. Every one of those things, by the way, is a choice that we make to agree with our old nature. It's the reason Jesus went to the cross, so that he could deliver us, not just from the stuff we've done, but for the guy that's done it. That's the deliverance I need. I need God to search me. You know how we react to things that happen in our lives when we fall flat in the mud? That is, we fail in some respect spiritually. We just go right ahead and we make a mess. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a necessary thing many times. Because we will go along in the delusion that we are okay if God doesn't let stuff happen that reminds us. We've used the example of Peter so many times. Peter, I'll never do this. And he did it the same night or the next morning. But God is so faithful to show us the things that we need. But I want to have the same kind of heart that David did, don't you? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Isn't that what God is encouraging through these scriptures? I love you. I care about you. I think about you constantly. I want you to think about me more. And I want you to recognize your need. But I want you to give that to me, to learn how to trust me in all of these things, that these courses that you have to deal with in your life. Now, one of the interesting words, and I think this is typically translated this way, is the word commit. Commit your way to the Lord, David says back in Psalm 37. Commit. That word is interesting. Almost all of the uses of that word has to do with rolling something like a stone. If I had a big stone and it was here and it needed to be there, I would commit it. I would roll it. That's the word that's used. It's as though there's something heavy that needs to not be where it's at. It needs to be somewhere else. Do you kind of get a picture of what the Lord might be saying here? Anybody here? It's kind of a hard way right now. I won't ask you to raise your hand. But life is kind of hard. There are things going on. They're weighing on you, weighing on me. And God wants us to understand that's kind of the way it is in this world. There's stuff that's going to weigh on us that we need to learn what to do with it. God's not wanting us to carry that in just to labor under that. Oh, God, I got to handle this somehow. I've got to figure it out. I've got to make my way. I've got to make this happen. Oh, God, that's a horrible way to live. What did Jesus say to those who are heavy and burdened? Come to me. Learn from me. My burden is light. I'm not quoting it very well. That's all right. Just don't get old. But you remember the scripture about how we need to come to Jesus and we'll discover a different way. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he said. Boy, I need this.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.